What do Bill Gates, the Soros Empire, King Charles, and Yuval Noah Harari all have in common? We'll talk about it next.
And then we have Emmanuel Macron. Let's go over to Europe. He's the current French president, and he too is another favorite candidate people say of the Antichrist, because some say he's very young and he's very charismatic. He's a European leader and he's also a staunch globalist. Macron also calls for a renewed peace talks between Israelis and Palestinians, indicating that he will help in the process. And then his name, Emmanuel, in Hebrew means God with us. And he went on record stating, quote, he wants to govern like a Roman God.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell, Radio for the Remnant, brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries. In part one of our program, Jan Markell talks to Billy Crone about the global elite and their rush to set up Antichrist's kingdom. Just what is their strategy, and can we see it playing out today? In part two, Ken Michael and Josh Schwartz talk to Pastor Brent Meter. So much is happening that has biblical significance. You don't want to miss this. Here is today's programming.
Yes, I believe the Antichrist is alive today, and the reason I believe that is because of the days in which we live. I believe that he is living somewhere, probably as a minor official of some kind. Who knows? He might not be known even as a minor official today. The critical thing about Antichrist is that events are going to propel him into a situation where the world will demand him and his services. He's somebody that, much like Adolf Hitler was, someone that people will ask for. If you think about it, Hitler did not impose himself upon the German people as much as the German people demanded his services as a result of the post-World War I deprivation they were experiencing.
I believe the Antichrist could be alive today, but 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 tells us that he is being restrained. He will be revealed in his time, and his time will not come. That revelation of who the Antichrist actually is will not come until after the rapture happens. As a matter of fact, I'll go a little stronger than that. I think he probably is alive today because I think the rapture is so close. The rapture, of course, has always been imminent. But the signs of the times are pointing to the second coming of Jesus. If that's true, how much closer is the rapture? The rapture is the curtain that has to be raised before the Antichrist is revealed. So if the rapture occurred today, which it very well could, then the Antichrist is certainly on the scene because he would be revealed very shortly thereafter.
That's a question that's one of the main questions that gets asked at prophecy conferences. Is the Antichrist alive today? Obviously, if we say anyone says for sure that he's alive, then obviously that means the Lord has to come back within 30, 40 years because the Antichrist won't live forever. So what I would say about that question is no one knows for sure, but if someone were to ask me, do I think that he's alive today? I do. I do believe that he's alive somewhere on the earth today because of the convergence that we see of the signs of the times and the acceleration of these signs. So I personally, if someone were to ask me, I do believe that.
So glad you can join me for today's programming. It's good to be back in studio. And for those of you who listen regularly to Understanding the Times Radio, you know that we often refer to the coming Antichrist kingdom, known as the tribulation, the time of Jacob's trouble, Daniel's 70th week. This is a time period from which believers are missing, having been evacuated in what is known as the rapture of believers in Jesus Christ. Those who name him as Lord and Savior, the left behind crowd then endures the worst time in history of the world, the biblical tribulation and great tribulation. Billions are going to die during that time. The earth goes through a pounding none of us wants to experience. In charge of the global mess will be a man known as the Antichrist, the lawless one, the beast, the son of perdition, and the world is getting ready for him. And I think that's the emphasis you've heard on this program over the years. They can't wait. He is empowered by Satan, and Satan has some global elites assisting in this scheme. You've also heard Pastor Billy Crone on this program numerous times. We now carry his new DVD set, Global Elites and the Antichrist. Who are some of these elite world leaders? Well, he's going to talk about a number of them. In our programming, we're going to be focusing on just a few of them. Certainly Bill Gates, we're going to look at George Soros, but others at play include Prince Charles, now King Charles, Yuval Noah Harari, many, many more. And these are leading players. The product is a 16 teaching DVD set. We offer it in our online store. We have the price marked down considerably so that we can get it into the hands of our ministry partners. Pastor Billy Crone, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Jen. It's always great to be on.
You say that Global Elites and the Antichrist invites you to take a shocking journey that unveils the evidence concerning, and here you're referring to five major global key players who are secretly working behind the scenes, again, these are your words, to help Klaus Schwab and the gang build the actual Antichrist kingdom. And you say, here you will have unmasked the coordinated plan to destroy our way of life and replace it with a satanic agenda. My question is, do you think these players know they are a part of this satanic scheme? More specifically, do you think they know they're a part of the Antichrist agenda?
Jan, based on the research, certainly taking a deep dive in their background, I would say it's a mixture. Some give the appearance that they know that they're a part of a satanic agenda. I would say others are not necessarily so. They're not biblical scholars. I wouldn't say that, yep, they're absolutely with full cognizance, knowing what they're doing is helping the Antichrist kingdom. But with that said, the reason why it's important to talk about is whether they're doing it on purpose or not, it still is all part of building that Antichrist kingdom called the seven-year tribulation. And 2 Thessalonians 2 tells us we can expect that. Verse 7 says that for the secret power of lawlessness is already at work, but the one who holds it now back, the church, will continue to do so until he's taken out of the way. I love the Greek there, Jan. It's ginomai meso, and it means to rise from the midst. That sounds like a rapture to me. And then, after the rapture, verse 8, then the lawless one will be revealed. Let 2 Thessalonians 2 speak for itself. It's perfectly pre-trib all the way. But my point is, before the church is taken out of the way, rising from the midst, it says the secret power of lawlessness is already at work. Musterion in the Greek, it means hidden from behind the scenes. Whether these guys know it or not, they are building the infrastructure behind the scenes that is really hidden to most people because of the smoke screen that is preparing the way for the Antichrist kingdom. And why that's relevant, Jan, is where a lot of us prophecy teachers admit that there has to be a pre-building of the Antichrist kingdom, because it's just not logical for the Antichrist to all of a sudden make his appearance on the world scene and then say, well, I guess I better get cracking at building a one world government and a cashless society around the whole planet. It's just not feasible. So logically, there has to be some sort of pre-stage being set for him so that when he does make his appearance after the rapture, they basically hand him the keys to the kingdom. And these guys that you just mentioned, whether they know it or not, they're building that kingdom.
You said something key. They're building a system, because referring to some folks who are getting up in years, including Klaus Schwab, we're going to hit on George Soros, etc., but they have built a backup system. We even have the name of their successor, how much they're clued in on the evil. I'm sure they are. Bjorge Brende, I believe, is Schwab's successor. In other words, the plan isn't going to diminish because some of these fellows are getting older and they're going to fade off the scene, I would think, even within the next year or so. But the system has been built in, a very evil system.
Exactly, Jen. In fact, if you look at a lot of these people's agendas, a lot of these agendas were started even prior to them. It's a generational approach.
Right.
And even some of the writings in the past, they admitted that they knew that they were not going to see the fulfillment of this Luciferian agenda in their lifetime, but they made sure that the next generation would take it to the next step. And so what I call the backup plan, you mentioned Soros, he's already got his backup plan ready to go.
Yeah.
In fact, it's already being put into play, and that's his son, Alex.
Well, we're going to do two programs, Billy Crone, and you're going to come back next week, and I think we'll hit on George Soros likely next week, but I want to play the trailer to this presentation. Again, folks, it's in my store. I don't say all these things to be promoting so much, making profits here. However, the content, information you really need. Let's just play the trailer. This is a little bit longer, but I think it's very worthwhile for you to hear. And here you're going to be hearing some of these major player voices. Prince Charles, now King Charles. Yuval Noah Harari. What about Elon Musk? We're going to have to talk about him at some point here. George Soros, Bill Gates. We're going to spend an extra few minutes on Bill Gates. Artificial intelligence, how this plays in.
Here we need a vast military-style campaign to marshal the strength of the global private sector. With trillions at its disposal, far beyond global GDP, and with the greatest respect, beyond even the governments of the world's leaders, it offers the only real prospect of achieving fundamental economic transition.
It should be obvious to everybody, we cannot deal with the problems of the environment, of climate change, except through global cooperation.
I mean, I do think that there's a potential path here which is, and we're really getting into science fiction or advanced science stuff, but having some sort of merger with biological intelligence and machine intelligence.
The most important aspect of the current phase of the ongoing AI revolution is that AI is gaining mastery of language at a level that surpasses the average human ability.
You're looking at 60 satellites hurtling into the sky. And over the next few decades, Elon Musk is hoping to send 42,000 of these satellites to space, 15 times the number of operational satellites in orbit today. It's part of Starlink, the expansive constellation from Musk and SpaceX that hopes to bring the world low-latency, high-speed internet, promising no more buffering and nearly instantaneous internet in every corner of the world.
George Soros is one of the biggest spending political donors in the world. With a net worth of $25 billion, he has funded the most powerful groups on the American left, including arms of the Democratic Party, ACLU, Center for American Progress, and the presidential campaigns of Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. So it's worth understanding who he is and what he thinks.
You're a Hungarian Jew who escaped the Holocaust by posing as a Christian. You watched lots of people get shipped off to the death camps.
I was 14 years old, and I would say that that's when my character was born.
Went out, in fact, and helped in the confiscation of property from the Jews.
Yes, sir.
Was it difficult?
Not at all.
You know, the chance of a natural pandemic in the next 4 years is somewhere between 10 and 15%. It'd be nice to think we're actually more ready for that than we were last time, but so far we're not.
You really think we're not?
No, we're absolutely not.
Why not?
Is production of a transgenic mosquito as a flying syringe to deliver protective vaccine via saliva? The Gates Foundation's been funding all sorts of genetic engineering of mosquitoes, and there's a lot of talk about using mosquitoes and mosquito bite to help vaccinate certain populations. I don't have proof that that's viable yet, but I know they're working on it.
Simply by gaining mastery of human language, AI has all it needs in order to cocoon us in a matrix-like world of illusions.
Like, we will not be able to be smarter than a digital supercomputer. So therefore, if you cannot beat him, join him.
It'll basically do anything you want. So it can be a teacher, babysit your kids, it can walk your dog, mow your lawn, get the groceries, just be your friend, serve drinks, whatever you can think of, it will do. And yeah, it's gonna be awesome. I think this will be the biggest product ever of any kind. The Optimus robots will walk among you.
If you just joined me, you're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. Jan Markell, have on the line Pastor Billy Crone. We carry his newest presentation, Global Elites and the Antichrist. It's a 16-teaching DVD set. I have watched many of them. They're outstanding. Billy Crone, I was going to save this for a little bit later, but no, it jumped out during this playing of the trailer. And that would be the question I have, and that is, what do we do with Elon Musk? Now, let me follow that up with saying he has been a historical leftist. He certainly has moved to the center. He's a major part of our administration. He is being beaten up by the left, something fierce. Help us understand not only Elon Musk, but what are Christians to do with him?
Again, I think as Christians, Jim, we're supposed to be truth tellers, right? That if you want to have a reputation as a Christian, that when people come to you, they know they're always going to get the truth. They may not like to hear it. They may not agree with it. But they know that, man, that person's always going to tell me the truth. I think that's where we need to have a balance here. It seems like all things Musk, people go to one end of the spectrum or the other. If you say anything negative about him, then you're an anti-American communist leftist. Or if you mention some of the good he's doing, like with the Doge program, which me personally, I'm super stoked about that.
Yep.
I'm glad he's doing that. Then all of a sudden, if I say something good about him, then, oh, I drunk the Kool-Aid. I'm part of the Antichrist kingdom. No. So to me, I try to be that Christian that I'm a truth teller. I'm going to be honest with the facts. And the facts are yes, of course, he is doing some great things with the Doge program, and I'm excited about that. However, does that mean I got to stick my head in the sand and not talk about some of the other things that are clearly part of the last day's Bible prophecy agenda? How come it became illegal overnight, it seems, to be able to talk about that? So I use the analogy of this, Jim. Listen, on the front porch of the home, Musk is doing good things with the Doge program, things of that nature. Okay? All I'm saying is, can we talk about what's going on in the backyard?
Totally agree with you, Billy Crone. He is doing some amazing things. We have to talk about Starlink. He wants chips in brains. Right now, I think they're in animal brains, and I think he would like to see them in your brain and mine. Am I wrong?
No, that's exactly the stated goal on tape. And as you mentioned with the DVDs, that's the power of the DVDs. You will hear these people say these things. And it's beyond the animal stage, Jen. They're already moving into humans. He's that far along. But think about that, Jen. For many years, people have wondered, Revelation 13, the mark of the beast, right hand or the forehead. For many years, we've seen so many examples of people using their hands, even the right hand, to make payments to buy and sell. But for many years, people are like, what's up with the head? We're not seeing any signs of that. We are now. And we're not just now. We're seeing it on a massive scale. In fact, Neuralink's stated goal is to be able to pop brain chips into people so fast that it's an in-out procedure. They describe it like LASIK, that you'll be able to go in, the laser does its thing, zip, zip, and you walk right back out. But we're talking what, Jen? Brain chips that connect you to a computer, that connects you to the internet, and ultimately AI. So let's go a step further. That to me, man, that sounds like a marking of the head of some sort to me. But then that's Neuralink. Yep. At the same time, what is also being launched around the world? Starlink. What's Starlink? For the first time in man's history, you're creating a global matrix around the whole planet, which they state, even if you're at the top of the Himalayan mountains, you will be able to be connected to the matrix. So I'm thinking Starlink on a global basis will also be a part of Neuralink and link all the brain chips and anything that has a microchip in it around the whole planet. Now, again, I'm not saying Musk is doing this on purpose. I'm not saying that he's going, yep, I did this whole thing because I'm here helping the Antichrist. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is, if that ain't some sort of a mark of the beast system for the first time in man's history, I don't know what is. And can we just talk about it?
So you spend a fair amount of time on just a few people, and already referred to a few of them. We need to get to a couple of them and spend a little extensive time on them. And we just have on Elon Musk, but I want to move quickly in the interest of time, because you talk extensively about Bill Gates. He is far more than, like you say, Microsoft may not be his primary legacy. And I think the primary globalist and primary Antichrist helper, after I've viewed so many of your videos, seems to be, am I wrong, but it would be Bill Gates?
Yeah. In fact, Jan, me personally, growing up, I was never a big fan of Hamburger Helper, but as challenging it is to eat that stuff, this guy's worse. He really is an Antichrist helper, mm-hmm. in all seriousness, Jan. In fact, I will say this on tape, but this is based on research, that Bill Gates, if he gets his way, Jan, he will become the biggest mass murderer in the history of mankind.
Okay, and I'm going to play a clip, and this is going to substantiate what you just said, because he probably is going to do this with a certain medical procedure, and we are being a little cautious here, folks, on some of the things that we talk about. And I'm going to play a clip again. It's from your presentation, because he does want to inject the entire world.
In January of 2010, Bill and Melinda Gates used the World Economic Forum at Davos to announce a staggering $10 billion commitment to research and develop vaccines for the world's poorest countries, kicking off what he called a decade of vaccines.
Today we're announcing a commitment over this next decade, which we think of as a decade of vaccines having incredible impact. We're announcing that we'll spend over $10 billion on vaccines.
Hailed by the Gates-funded media.
For the record, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is a NewsHour underwriter.
And applauded by the pharmaceutical companies who stood to reap the benefits of that largesse. The record-setting commitment made waves in the international community, helping to underwrite a global vaccine action plan coordinated by the Gates-funded World Health Organization. But contrary to the Gates' own PR spin that this $10 billion pledge was an unalloyed good and would save 8 million lives, The truth is that this attempt to reorient the global health economy was part of a much bigger agenda. An agenda that would ultimately lead to greater profits for big pharma companies, greater control for the Gates Foundation over the field of global health, and greater power for Bill Gates to shape the course of the future for billions of people around the planet. This is Bill Gates' plan to vaccinate the world. Given Gates' pledge to make this a decade of vaccines, it should come as no surprise that, since the dawn of this coronavirus crisis, he has been adamant that the world will not go back to normal until a vaccine has been developed.
But we're going to have this intermediate period of opening up, and it won't be normal until we get an amazing vaccine to the entire world. The vaccine is critical because until you have that, things aren't really going to be normal. They can open up to some degree, but the risk of a rebound will be there until we have very broad vaccination. Well, they won't be back to normal until we either have that phenomenal vaccine or a therapeutic that's like over 95% effective. And so we have to assume that's going to be almost 18 months from now. And then the final solution, which is a year to 2 years off, is the vaccine. So we've got to go full speed ahead on all three fronts.
As you say, Billy Crone, Microsoft may not be his primary legacy, but it will be what we've just heard here.
Yeah, and when I took a deep dive into him, including his startup with Microsoft, I learned a lot about his character, Jan. And then all of a sudden it dawned on me, oh, I found the hidden roadmap. I found, why does Bill Gates do what he does even to this day? There's two things that drive him: make money and murder people. And the murder aspect comes in with his family heritage, with his dad being the head of Planned Parenthood. Bill Gates admitted that on tape. And he still promotes the lie that the planet is overpopulated. And we take quite a bit of time dispelling that lie. So everything he does to this day, Jan, post-Microsoft, is for those two things: make money, murder people. And most people realize that Bill Gates' vaccines, where did this come from? Well, he admitted on tape, and we share that tape, that during the COVID pandemic with the jabs there, he made his investment into that 20-to-1 return on that because he invested in those vaccines. And any vaccine moving forward, it's the same thing. He doesn't care about the planet, Jan. He's not a health expert. He's not a doctor. He's there to create a monopoly. And that monopoly he's going to make hand over fist. And unfortunately, there's deadly side effects meeting his two goals. And this is what drives Bill Gates.
So you do make a case for this reducing the population. Again, this is in the product that we're talking about, folks, this DVD set, Global Elites and the Antichrist. Here are some voices that are talking about we've got to reduce the population. This seems to be an obsession on the left. Here we hear Kamala Harris, Yuval Noah Harari, again, Bill Gates.
When we invest in clean energy and electric vehicles and reduce population, more of our children can breathe clean air and drink clean water.
Again, I think that the biggest question in maybe in economics and politics of the coming decades will be what to do with all these useless people.
And then the big political and economic question of the 21st century will be, what do we need humans for? Or at least, what do we need so many humans for?
My name is Jane Goodall. My age is 80. My job is giving people hope. If I just have this magic power, I would like to, without causing any pain or suffering, reduce the number of people on the planet.
Because of very, very high medical costs and a lack of willingness to say, is spending $1 million on that last 3 months of life for that patient, would it be better not to lay off those 10 teachers and to make that trade-off in medical costs? But that's called the death panel, and you're not supposed to have that discussion.
Billy Crone, all these voices are antichrist-esque. They all are tribulation-type talkers. And I think that's the point you're trying to make.
Exactly, Jen. In fact, there's another clip that we share with Bill Gates there. He's at a TED Talk, and this is on tape, not a conspiracy theory. He says this, Jen: if we do a really good job with vaccines and the medical care, we can reduce the population by 10 to 15%. That's not only on tape, but I broke out the calculator. 15% of the current population around the world, Jan, that is 1.2 billion people. And he admitted he doesn't care about people's health. He wants to depopulate the planet. And since he owns the patents on the bulk of these vaccines and has invested millions, but he's going to get a return of billions. And this is what drives this guy.
He's also very influential in the educational system through Common Core. He sees artificial intelligence as taking over for teachers, and yet every leftist teacher out there probably loves Bill Gates. And he's buying off the media. Others do the same. Jeff Bezos does that. This is a cabal, and I think that's your point, is we've got a cabal here.
Yeah, and once you learn about one, it just seems like the same cyclical behavior goes to the next guy. Bill Gates, the way he gets away with this stuff, post-Microsoft, he took all of his billions, and he created a smokescreen. It's called the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. All that foundation does is advance these evil agendas under the guise of being a philanthropic enterprise, and it's not. It's how he advances his global evil agenda. George Soros does the same thing. He took his billions of dollars. What's he do? He created his own shell company called Open Door Society. But let me give you one more real quick, Bill Gates, where it comes into Bible prophecy. Because Bill Gates wants to make money and murder people, and he's big on the vaccines, he's also simultaneously, Jan, big on a universal ID system. To me, that has everything, again, back to Mark of the Beast system, and he wants it mandated. But listen to why he wants it mandated. Again, he doesn't care about mankind. He wants it mandated that everybody's going to have a unique identifier, and if they have their way, it's going to be biometric. And he says, because the new universal ID will be tied into the database of all things you and your healthcare, including vaccine status. And so with a universal ID, that will be their way to force people around the planet to get the vaccines they say you need to get. And if you don't, you'll be shut out of the system. Mm. That's why he's interested, because he's going to make bank. Because again, the vaccines they're promoting, he either owns the patents or has invested money into it. And so that's a global customer. Or also, because they're not good for you, it's going to meet his other goal. It's going to help depopulate the planet.
Again, folks, you can find the product, Global Elites and the Antichrist, be volume one. There's more to come. In my online store, olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org. You can call my office. It's offered in my various newsletters if you want to call for those or sign up online. Billy, a lot of people are now asking me if you might have the presentation downloadable. In other words, they're not using DVDs anymore. Olive Tree is only offering the DVD format. And I think Get a Life Media might offer the downloading option. Billy, is that right?
Yes, we do, Jan. If they go to the teaching website, getalifemedia.com, you're going to see right there at the very top of the page on the right-hand side, it says All Access Digital Membership. And if you click on that, you will not only be able to watch, stream online, and download, but it's good for a whole year. You'll get all of our previous documentaries, and any documentary that, Lord willing, come out in the next year, you get it for all that same one price.
Pastor Billy Cronin is coming back with me next week because we're going to dig deeper into this. And I want to take a closer look at the role of the Soros Empire. Now, his son Alex has taken over. Do you think anything's going to change? As a matter of fact, Alex says he's more hardcore, more leftist. I think he actually says he's more dangerous than his father, George Soros. But we're going to take a look at that empire next week, and we're going to look at some other issues as well. Because the Antichrist kingdom is being formed. The so-called tribulation empire is in the process of forming. No, believers won't be here, but we're seeing the setup. The stage is being set. And that is the point of part one today and part one next week here on Understanding the Times Radio. Now, coming up in part two of my program today, Ken Michael and Josh Schwartz talk to Pastor Brett Meador about some very current issues that you need to know about. So please don't go away.
We hope you'll stay in touch with us online through olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. You can call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Write us through the mail at Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. That's Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. In a time characterized by fake news and false teaching, thank you for trusting Understanding the Times Radio and Olive Tree Ministries. We are pleased to announce the arrival of the newest Terry James book titled Tracking Toward Tribulation and the Any Moment Intervention by Jesus Christ. This is a compilation of chapters written by 15 contributors, all with insights into the lateness of the hour. Some of these contributors include Tom Hughes, Brandon Holdhouse, Dr. Randall Price, Mike Gendron, and Jan Markell. The new book is an intensively concentrated effort by the top writers and broadcasters of our time, analyzing the end-time issues and events bombarding America and the world. The authors, in thoroughly examining all things involved in the swift movement toward the establishment of Antichrist's world-controlling regime, present a glorious prospect for all who cling to the Lord Jesus Christ and the blessed hope, the rapture of the church. Find Tracking Toward Tribulation in our online store, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Or call our office at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Gain great wisdom and insight as we track the any moment return of Jesus Christ.
Don't be afraid. I love Revelation 1:3. Blessed is he that reads and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things that are written there. And the word blessed there is happy. So we can be happy to know God is in control. We can put our trust in him.
We know you can't always be by a radio. So if you miss a program, visit our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. And then go to radio, where we feature both the audio and video version of our program. You can also catch the program at oneplace.com, on our Rumble or YouTube channel, on all of our social media, and on his channel, Christian TV. In part two of today's programming, Pastor Josh Schwartz and Ken Michael talk to Pastor Brent Meter. If you are finding it difficult to keep up with the times, you don't want to miss this segment. Here's the balance of today's programming.
Time is moving, unceasingly and relentlessly. With each passing moment, the world as we know it is changing, transforming before our very eyes. There's a palpable sense in the air, a strange feeling that something significant is about to happen. This sense is not just a fleeting thought, but a deep-seated realization that the events described in the book of Revelation might soon come to pass.
In recent times, we have witnessed extraordinary events around the world, many of which have been alarming and devastating. Floods, earthquakes, heat waves, and heightened political tensions have left countless people feeling unsettled, asking themselves, what does it all mean?
Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. And then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold.
Despite the chaos around us, Jesus reminds us in Matthew 24:6, do not be alarmed. He encourages us not to let our hearts be troubled, even in the face of these sorrows. These events are part of God's grand plan, and nothing is happening outside of his knowledge or control.
Welcome to the second half of Understanding the Times. I'm Ken Michael, along with Pastor Josh Schwartz. Events in the world are happening at breakneck speed, and many Bible-believing Christians are asking, could we be the generation that will see the return of our Lord Jesus Christ? And what did Jesus say the world would look like, and what are the signs that he told us to look for before his return? We'll ask our guest today. He's the senior pastor at Athey Creek Church in Westland, Oregon. Brett Meador. Pastor Brett, welcome back to the program.
Thank you. Great to be here with you guys.
I know you get asked and we get asked, many churchgoers now believe we're living in the last moments of the church age. Tell our audience, what did Jesus say about the signs that we should look for right before his return?
It's interesting because I was talking to our congregation. I just asked the question, do you get a sense that things are speeding up in the eschatological scenario? And the whole congregation was united. Yes, I think people really do feel that the signs of the times that Jesus talked about, you know, Matthew 24, wars, rumors of wars, the deception that's going to be happening, even the earthquakes and the natural catastrophic things, we're seeing those things ramping up. That's one of the things that the Lord's been putting on my heart. There was a local pastor here in Portland. I watched one of his teachings, and they have a very different view of eschatology than we do. Basically, things are getting better. And I heard this sermon where the pastor was trying to say, look how things are getting better and better. And I just thought, how can you with a straight face try to preach a sermon like that when you really do see things ramping up? I believe Jesus was talking about the way things would speed up in the Bible, you know, in Revelation chapter 1, when Jesus said, these things must shortly come to pass. And I think there's people that think that word shortly, that should be a few days from now. And that was 2,000 years ago. So I think there's been an apathy that's been built into the church. But the word shortly is the one that people are misunderstanding in Jesus's description there. So it's not that things are going to happen the day after Jesus said it, but the idea that I read there is shortly, that Greek word is tachos, in that it's measuring not speed, but quickness. It's like our word tachometer, revolutions per minute. And I think that's the concept Jesus was trying to show us, that as we get closer to the end, things will ramp up.
Well, thanks, Pastor Brett. There is an aspect there in Matthew chapter 24 that I want to touch on, and that's Jesus' warning of to not be deceived or led astray. What would you say to our listeners, to your congregation, about being on guard and not being deceived or led astray?
There's so many areas of deception, I think, that we're seeing. And when I used to read that, I pictured more of the deception of the Antichrist, which that is going to be a major part of the Antichrist. But I'm becoming more and more aware of the deceptions that are going to happen before the Antichrist is even on the scene. And I believe that when the disciples asked that question about the end of the world, it's interesting to me, that's the very first thing Jesus mentions, that you be not deceived, which the implication, that's going to be top of the list of what's going to be happening. And so when I see what's going on with the narratives and the misinformation and even some of the technology that it's able, with what we see with our eyes, you really can't believe anything that's going on. Even if you have a perfectly crisp video of some event that happened, you really don't know what is true anymore. And I think that's what Jesus was warning us about, is there's so many layers and levels of deception that we're actually seeing right now. It makes one shudder a little bit when you think about the potential, even a year from now, what are we going to be seeing in the area of deception? So I think as Christians, our job is to always focus on the truth. I'm so thankful we have the Word of God, that's the anchor, that's the reality. Anymore, I'm almost afraid to say anything outside of the scriptures because there's just so much deception. And I kind of feel like that's what Jesus was referring to.
And that is, deception is running rampant. And what I've seen lately is, as you look through the scriptures, the scheme of Satan is to be deceptive. And so everything that he is trying to do is to lead us astray, to delude us, and to get us to worship him or to take our eyes off of the one true God.
He is a liar, a thief, and a murderer. That's all he does. He lies, steals, murders. I'm glad you brought up deception, because I want to talk about AI, because I think that's going to be a key component that's going to be used in the last days, especially during the tribulation, that the Antichrist will have to use to set up his one world global system so that he can monitor and track everybody. Let's talk about some of these technologies that are changing almost by the minute. And the most recent breakthrough in AI is the Majorana one. The developers at Microsoft say they've developed an actual fourth matter. It's not a solid, a liquid, or a gas. It's a new form of matter. I want to play a quick clip and get your take on it.
Microsoft has made a giant leap in quantum computing with the development of the Majorana 1, the world's first quantum chip powered by a revolutionary new class of materials. Topological superconductors are a special category of materials that give rise to an entirely new state of matter, one that is neither solid, liquid, nor gas. This breakthrough builds on nearly two decades of research. Using topological core architecture, the Majorana 1 chip is compact enough to fit in the palm of a hand and currently supports 8 topological qubits. Microsoft envisions scaling up to 1 million qubits on a single chip.
Pastor Brett, I know that you had talked about this recently. We've been teaching on it. How amazing is this new technology?
It's hard for me to get my brain around that. I'm not a scientist or a techie, but seeing the way this chip that Microsoft just came up with, this Majorana 1, what's going to happen is that in conjunction with AI technology is going to be world changing. A lot of people think that, oh, so what? We'll have better computing tools. Finally, we'll be able to use Microsoft products because their speed is improving. But it's been said that what all the supercomputers in the world could accomplish in 1 year's time, this new quantum computing, it's going to be able to do in like 2 minutes. What it took all the supercomputers combined a whole year. What this means is the power to come up with solutions, inventions. They're acting and framing like it's going to solve all the world's problems. Everybody talks about how it's going to cure cancer. It's going to come up with more comfortable ways of lifestyle, less work for us. But nobody talks about what that's going to do for weapons technology and for things like deception, even profiling people before we even know who they are. They're saying with this kind of AI technology, you'll be able to find out who the criminals are before they've even committed the crime or who's going to die because of a genetic disorder. When you think about the implications of what the technology is going to do for the world, it starts to line up with biblical end times dystopian themes. And part of the hard part is just understanding, what does this mean, this kind of computer technology? I think it's opening up all kinds of problems. It's sort of a Pandora's box, along with maybe some solutions. Like you guys said, AI can be helpful, but I think the potential is pretty dastardly.
It's amazing how the human heart is so broken, ultimately evil, and we've always, throughout history, used technology for nefarious purposes, even though technology can be used for benefits. And I think with the same thing with AI, we as followers of Jesus can redeem the technology, but those who aren't in Christ are going to use it for power, control, and domination of the world as a whole.
They're talking about these systems having the IQ in the thousands. I think the average genius is 165, 170. They're talking about IQs in the 2,500 to 3,000. And we now know that the developers are telling us we've already reached AGI, artificial general intelligence. These things are as smart as humans. It's incredible what's happening and the speed that it's happening
in. Yeah. So Pastor Brett, specifically in this area of AI technology, we can move into the area of genetic engineering, and we're certainly seeing a huge advancement. And we know that the Chinese are actually using this type of technology to develop super viruses and super soldiers that are not only physically enhanced, but also can survive a nuclear explosion and radiation. What are your thoughts?
The invention of this, it's moving at breakneck speed. And what's interesting about the Chinese, we've sort of viewed them as behind on AI and some of this tech and even the quantum computing. But just last month, DeepSeek, a Chinese AI app, came out and everybody's kind of laughing. Well, we'll see what they have. The main thing about DeepSeek is they released its R1 model, which is their sort of version of ChatGPT, OpenAI kind of capabilities. But what they were able to do is they were able to release this new chip. And it was kind of interesting watching. It wiped billions of dollars off the market value of NVIDIA, the value of the chip giant. For a few days, it knocked them off the market because DeepSeek was so powerful. It was basically able to do all the things that our AI could do, only they did it for a fraction of the price. And it woke up the AI world saying, China's way ahead than what we thought they were. And I think what you guys mentioned is kind of the main thing, and that is China. They've proven, even with this coronavirus thing, their intentions are not pure and trying to solve all the problems of the world. They seem to be creating problems. And I think that the combination of quantum computing and AI holds this potential to cause all kinds of weapons that we can't even imagine, autonomous weapons. China's experimenting with those. We've seen some of that, the autonomous weaponry used in Ukraine, where the Russians were able to jam the signal for these drones or weapons that the Ukrainians were using. So they're wanting to give AI to these weapons so they don't need a connection If you think about the implications of that, it starts to become a little bit like Terminator in the movies. Well, we lose control of the weapons that we're creating.
And then with all the satellites that we're shooting up into the air, now we can connect the entire globe together so that all these systems are connected so that one government, or in the future, maybe one person has control over this. Just going back real quick to something you touched on, especially with this genetic engineering, we know that the Stargate has been launched into the U.S. All these tech giants have come together, and they're going to use AI to improve our lives. But one thing that they mentioned that really struck me, they're going to be able to genetically engineer a vaccine, especially made for individuals, so that if you do get sick, within 48 hours, they can give you that vaccine, and supposedly you'll be better. This technology is happening quickly. The developers are warning us that this is being deployed too fast for us to even comprehend.
Do you ever wonder that it starts to touch on the Tower of Babel? Remember when man was coming together with intelligence and even technology in that version, and God saw that it was time to confuse their languages and scatter them because of where they were going? You get a sense that maybe technology, we're repeating history there. I'm of the persuasion when we get to that, the Lord's not going to confuse the language. He's not going to scatter men. He's going to bring in the Lord's day, the rapture of the church, and eventually his second coming. I think perhaps we're pushing those limits as they did back in the Tower of Babel. I think genetic engineering is one of those topics. I feel like they're possibly pushing those limits again.
You're absolutely right, because how much of a machine does someone have to become in order for their humanity to be entirely removed? We've got ethical questions when it comes to the use of AI, quantum computing, and manipulation. So, Pastor Brett, as we know, President Trump has said that the U.S. will not go to a central bank digital currency. However, a report just came out that he said that we could transfer to a digital dollar. We know that there will eventually be a currency where the government can track buying and selling. Isn't this replacing one digital currency for another?
I think you're right on there. The digital currency is interesting to watch because there's a lot of potential options that we see floating around. To me, it definitely speaks of what Revelation 13, 16 through 18 talks about, this digital currency. And one of the narratives you see out there a lot is that they're trying to say, well, the digital currency is not going to replace cash. And Trump, I think, is one of those guys, and his agenda is probably well-intentioned. The problem with the digital currency central bank, not everybody got the memo and said, let's make sure not replace cash. I think that the officials in Bahamas, Eastern Caribbean Currency Union, Lebanon, Nigeria, they've all said their goal is to go cashless and that the central bank digital currency is a way to get there. And even the International Monetary Fund has recommended digital currency as a replacement for cash. And Trump might be able to hold off that movement for a few years, but I get a sense the world is rapidly moving to the book of Revelation in chapter 13 refers to as that cashless society. And it's very much going to be used to control people, ultimately to make people submit to and believe and follow the coming Antichrist.
Yeah. Delusion, deception, control. This is everything that we are racing toward. Pastor Brett, let's switch topics to what is happening in the Middle East. I want to play another clip and get your opinion.
Israel now launching ground assaults against Hamas in Gaza, in addition to its airstrikes. The Israeli assaults come and reports Hamas and other groups were using the ceasefire to rebuild their forces and launch another major attack on Israel.
They have tried to extract tools, equipment from the tunnels. Believe it or not, they resume rocket manufacturing, and they also search for missiles under the rubble. So during this time, the ceasefire, they were restructuring their military and also recruiting more fighters into the fight.
The Red Sea is on fire. Yemen's Houthi forces have unleashed a brutal wave of missile and drone attacks, targeting U.S. warships and Israel.
U.S. jets have struck these Iranian-backed Houthi rebels, F-18 Super Hornets, from the flight deck of the USS Harry S. Truman, were the vanguard of the strikes, along with Air Force fighter jets and drones. President Trump recently sent a letter to the Ayatollah saying Iran needs to end its nuclear enrichment program, stop in this path toward what many in the intelligence community say is a path to a nuclear bomb. The Israelis have been itching to strike the Iranians so far. While the Trump administration has voiced its support for such an operation, President Trump has said he wants to end this diplomatically. dramatically. That's why he sent that letter, but it was rejected from the Ayatollah. But the Iranians support these Houthi rebels, and so there's no question this is a message being sent to Tehran as well in Sana'a in Yemen.
Pastor Brett, we know that the ceasefire in Gaza is no longer in effect, and at the moment, Israel has gone back to advancing on Hamas targets. Do you think there'll be another ceasefire, or is this the final push to eliminate Hamas?
It's hard to pin down what's going to happen there. If I were Benjamin Netanyahu, I would say this is the time to completely do away with Hamas. As time goes by, I don't think they're going to win any world favor or grace from so much of the world. People toss around the idea of existential threat, but Israel literally faces an existential threat with the proxies of Iran, and Hamas is job one for them. And it was shocking to me to see, wow, they've wiped out Hamas, and now they're talking about giving hostages. But even the transfer of hostages showed Hamas was still flexing their muscles and doing horrible things to the poor hostages that they were even returning, if putting babies in caskets and sending them back with locks with the wrong keys, just trying to be brutal. Hopefully Americans and the world sees that Hamas, they've still got a presence and there's still a certain strength in them. Netanyahu's going to have to totally neutralize Hamas, as we did in Germany with the Germans in World War II. There has to be total surrender. If they don't do that, this thing's only going to be prolonged, and it's only going to embolden the other proxies, Hezbollah and the Houthis and others around.
Because when you don't deal with terrorists in the language that terrorists speak, you're actually emboldening them. This is really what we're going to see. So we heard in that clip that the U.S. is assaulting the Houthis that are trying to shut down shipping lanes in the Red Sea. Should Israel and or the United States cut off the head of the proverbial snake that is funding terror in the Middle East, namely the nation of Iran?
I believe so. President Trump ordered U.S. airstrikes on the Houthis in Yemen. This is a big deal. The United States there. And I think we're going to constantly be fighting the proxy battles of Iran, the head of the snake. Unless that's neutralized, it's just going to continue. It's amazing because the world has been saying Iran has been very weakened. And they have in certain ways. The Israelis airstrike back in October, they took out a lot of their anti-aircraft potential. But Iran is still effective to some degree. And when we start talking about Iran's vulnerability that's increasing, I think that only is driving them to try to get to a nuclear solution for themselves. And unless we solve that problem, I think the world should never rest, because there's a potential danger in Iran's position right now.
Yeah, and we're now seeing Turkey becoming involved. They're fighting on all fronts. Obviously, they don't like Israel. But with everything we're seeing there now, we're seeing their people rising up, and they're trying to overthrow Erdogan. But my question is, how is things that are happening all over the Middle East, how are these things coming together, and how does this relate to Bible prophecy?
There's a lot of connections that we can make. For me, watching Turkey, there's a huge political crossroad there. You know, mass protests when we saw that shocking arrest of Istanbul's mayor. Some say this could be a civil war in Turkey. But Erdogan, as long as he's in power, I see him following the biblical narrative, perhaps more than even some of the potential other leaders that would rise in Turkey. But Erdogan wanting to become the Islamic caliphate, this follows some of the narratives, even the Gog Magog Ezekiel 38 scenario. Turkey's going to be, I believe, one of the major players in that, along with Russia and Iran. Today, I believe Turkey being involved right there at the northern border of Syria, of Israel, I think that's part of the scenario that needs to come together for the end times, even the Battle of Armageddon or the Gog Magog war. So I look at these various players like Turkey, Russia, Iran, and all the proxies as leading up to some of these battles the Bible predicts, as well as the anti-Semitism that's on the rise.
So with that, everything that we've covered is pretty overwhelming and quite discouraging to those who are going to hear this. Can you bring us, in the last minute that we have, some hope and encouragement from the Word of God?
I love that, because that's the answer. When we get into Bible prophecy, I know some people get very troubled by that. I think for me, there's a few components that we need to remember. Number one, what's the real battle? In Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in the world, spiritual wickedness in high places. It reminds me that this really is what the Lord tells us is going to happen. I like what Jan always says, things are not falling apart, they're falling into place. As Christians, we find comfort in that. 2 Chronicles 20:15, the Lord says, don't be afraid or dismayed by the reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. So remembering that God is in control and that the battle is his, and then to not forget love is the key. By this will all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And when we see the enemies of Israel, the enemies of even God, to pray for their salvation. And then thirdly, don't be afraid. I love Revelation 1:3. Blessed is he that reads and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things that are written there. And the word blessed there is happy. So we can be happy to know God is in control and we can put our trust in him.
Well said. Our guest today has been Pastor Brett Meador, Athey Creek Church. Pastor Brett, how can people get in touch with you?
Find us at atheycreek.com. That's A-T-H-E-Y, creek.com. We're a church in Portland, Oregon. You can find us on YouTube. All of our teachings are there. And then once a month, we do a prophecy update. That's easiest found on our YouTube channel. So love to see people there.
Yeah, I look forward to your prophecy updates. Pastor Brett, I want to thank you for joining us today. Keep up the good work, and God bless you.
God bless you guys.
You are the love song. We'll sing forever.
Contact us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. For some reason, God planted you here in this last generation. We can make a difference, and we can offer encouragement, hope, and a good word as we watch all that was predicted in the Bible fall into place.